Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Your whole life can change in an instant. About 50 million adults in the United States have chronic pain, and because of a car accident, Robbie is one of them. In their marriage vows, Robbie and Sammy promise to stand by one another and provide strength when needed. And lately, they've been facing some of their biggest challenges. Join them as they share the ups and downs of living with chronic pain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Robbie.
And sorry about the delays. As you know, we just recently released an episode with Jess. That was a great interview.
We will definitely have her back on.
Yes, it was so great. And, you know, so we're ready to get back in the swing of things. She kicked off our brand new season.
I think we just scratched the surface with Jess. We have a lot to cover.
We truly with do. Her. Yeah. So we're definitely going to have her back soon.
I'm excited to have her back.
Yeah. We have lots of plans for this year. So we'll see how many we're able to get through as far as all the ideas we have for episodes. But yeah, she was one at the top of our list ever since October when we met her originally. So I'm glad we're able to knock that out. But yeah, one of our other big things that we wanted to do is going to be today's episode.
So I've actually been really looking forward to this episode. I don't know if you, this is a podcast and this is also a show on Peacock. It's called Dr. Death. And Sammy and I are actually kind of new to this. So if you guys have checked this out, you know kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I haven't checked out the podcast just because I already listened to.
I think it's exclusively through Wondery.
That could be a Wondery podcast, but I on my list of things I would like to listen to, and I actually was thinking it might be something, I say fun, but, you know, something we can listen to maybe during one of our long drives that we'll have coming up, you know, in the next couple months. I thought that might be a good thing that we could listen to together, to listen to the podcast that started it all.
Right. Dr. Death. This podcast, The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain, popped off the network, started the network, started Limitless Broadcasting. The reason why we did it is we had so much going on. We wanted to share what was going on, and this started.
Yeah. Yeah. And we still have lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. I mean,
so obviously today's episode will be on Dr. Death. We're going to specifically talk about the Peacock show since we haven't gotten a chance to listen to the podcast yet.
Correct.
But in real life, Robbie has had one appointment at a new pain management doctor.
Yes.
Let me tell you. So we have the same primary care doctor. Okay. She's awesome. Love her. She's great. So I went to my appointment. Robbie needed to make an appointment for himself. Ended up, they had an opening that day within like an hour of my appointment. So he just went. So my appointment is very quick, pretty easy. Not a lot going on. This dude comes in. And he, you know, has to go through all the ailments that he still has. And then he got five referrals
doctors. I actually needed one more.
What did we miss?
I need to see a podiatrist for my feet.
Well, better call her up.
That's one thing I was like, dang, I should have done
better
that.
Better call her up. But she referred him to a new pain management doctor. So Robbie's a bit crabby because she switched up some of his medications and he doesn't want to give it time to see if it's actually going to work.
Oh, it doesn't really help my pain out.
Right, because it takes some time for it to build up in your system. And
so I have
working.
To be in pain until that does that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, that's how everybody else out there would think, too.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Anyway, so we have that going on. Also, somebody has not been taking some of his medications correctly, and his triglycerides were insanely high.
Medications can be tricky. Even though I'm married to a pharmacist, medications can still be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
People get confused after taking so many pills and this, that, and the other. You're just like, oh, did I take this? I'm sure I did.
No, you've not been taking them. So we are back to using a pill box, which I am helping him manage.
There you go. Gold star.
I was upset with him.
Gold star.
I'm still upset with you, but it's fine. We're going to work through it. But yeah, so Robbie just saw a new pain management doctor, got some new meds. We'll see how they actually work. And you're going to see a GI specialist soon.
Yep. Oh, what was that? For neurologists?
Oh, neurologist he's never going to see.
Called me. They were like, oh, we're booked up for this year. I was like, wait a minute.
2024.
2024, you're already booked up. And I'm
the whole year.
I was like, when I was making this appointment, I was like, clearly, I chose the wrong profession. The lady taking my appointment did not laugh.
I thought it was funny.
But she was like, well, we'll put you on the wait list. And if we get anything sooner, we'll call you.
That's the only choice you have at this
point. I was like, okay, thank you for a year later.
It's insane how long these wait lists are. So, I guess we'll keep looking.
They were like, unless we hire more doctors or somebody gets sick, we'll hit you up. I was like, okay.
But I mean,
thank you.
That's insane. I mean, I'm assuming that's just a new patient problem. I'm hoping they're current patients. Don't have to wait months and months, but it makes you wonder a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if you got established with them, if you still would be like, well, we can't squeeze you in for 5 months.
Yeah, right.
That would make me a little nervous.
I've had seeing Dr. Parnes was rough. Yeah. At least like 4 months out of the year, I could go see him. But yeah. I was just like, dude, this is a year later.
It's insane. So we may have to continue looking for neurologists.
But clearly, we've done the wrong profession in life.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, very busy. Okay, so yeah, just wanted to kind of go over some of that stuff that was going on.
So just to get this out of the way, because I know a lot of you probably, I don't know if you listened to the full episode, but I want to make sure you guys understand this. We are launching a new radio show called Rant Radio.
Yep.
It's exclusive to Limitless Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. If you are passionate about something, if you like to go on rants, definitely check this out. You can actually be a part of this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a number. It's 844-857-7268.
Mm-hmm.
Call this number. Leave your name if you want to, or anonymous, and you can leave a rant.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a part of the show. We actually have a promotion going on. One of our show sponsors is putting up $1,000. And for the best rant, because we're launching this show, you can win $1,000 from Limitless Broadcasting. But that number again is 844-857-7268.
Yep.
Call that number, leave a message, and you can be on Rant Radio.
Yep. So super excited.
So happy ranting. We're super excited. Mm-hmm. Again, this is going to be exclusive to Limitless Broadcasting and our new network. You have to join the network for it. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the episode.
All right. So I'll give you some little summaries, little info, what's going on with the show. So we're going to be focusing for Dr. Death. There's two seasons. Season one is the one we're going to focus on. And this one talks about the story of Christopher Dunch, an American neurosurgeon convicted after permanently mutilating his patients and actually killing two of them. Season two talks about a Swiss-Italian surgeon and medical researcher, Paolo Macchiarini, who's convicted after experimenting on his patients. I would still recommend checking out both seasons, but the one we're going to focus on today is going to be season one, because that's more relevant to personal experience. Right. So that's why. So in this show, you have Joshua Jackson, who plays the main doctor, Christopher Dunch, the one who's committing all of these heinous surgeries against people. You have Grace Gummer as Kim Morgan. Christian Slater is in as Dr. Randall Kirby. Alec Baldwin is Dr. Robert Henderson. And Anna Sophia Robb is Michelle Sugar. So it's kind of like our main cast that we have in this one. So, and I looked up some real facts about the actual doctor that I can share now, or if we can talk about the show.
Get into it.
Okay. So I got a lot of this from Collider. So thank you online.
Collider? What is that?
They're like a news source. They're okay on things. They do different articles about different things.
Okay.
So in reference to Dr. Christopher Dunch, they said he is a doctor who killed severely and permanently maimed nearly all of his patients. He's a doctor who rendered his own childhood friend a quadriplegic and sliced through a woman's vocal cords while trying to do surgery on her spine. He's a doctor who was allowed to keep practicing medicine for 2 years as complaints against him piled up in the medical board's office. And such a character might seem too creepy and bizarre to be true, but sometimes reality has its way of surpassing fiction. And this person is none other than Christopher Dunch, a Texas-based physician who brought harm to 33 of his 38 patients. Sometimes that number is actually reported as 37 out of 38. So there's a little bit of controversy about that. The real story of Christopher Dunch begins in 2010 when he moved to Dallas, Texas. A year later, he was hired to work at the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute, according to a story that Laura Beale published in ProPublica. So that same year, Dunch started his practice at the Texas Neurosurgical Institute, and he was granted operating privileges at Baylor Regional Medical Center of Plano, Texas. So, and they kind of show this. They have sometimes changed the names of places in the show, but this is essentially what they kind of show with their time jumps and whatnot.
Right.
In the actual series. As a surgery resident, Beale reports that Dunch operated on less than 10% of the number of patients recommended by the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education. So what they're saying is that he didn't have the practical experience to actually get like licensed in this specialty. So if you're supposed to operate on like 1,000 patients, you know, he didn't operate on even 10% of that.
So how did he get released from medical school?
This is a lot of questions.
Like who was his medical? Where did he go to medical school at?
I don't remember.
I know that they say it in the show.
Yeah.
We just can't remember right now.
Yeah, but it's crazy. So, in addition, okay, so despite not, you know, operating on enough people, Dunch chose surgery as his specialty, and in 2 years, he operated on three different hospitals, killed two patients, paralyzed four, and severely injured many others, causing them permanent damage that ranged from numbness in their limbs to loss of voice. His work shocked doctors who operated with him or were later called to repair his botched surgeries. And according to the Texas Observer, one physician even went as far as to compare him to the fictional serial killer and cannibal Hannibal Lecter. That's how bad it was.
I'm surprised people would want to fix, because coming from personal experience, I tried to find a doctor to fix my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And no one
very reluctant to do
would
it.
Touch me.
Mm-hmm.
I called every neurosurgeon in Orlando.
And on top of that, they didn't really, like when you ask questions, you know, about the pain you're experiencing, all that, no one really wanted to go over it. But when we went to the Mayo Clinic, he did say, well, this is what is the usual standard of care after a motor vehicle accident, after like what you went through. This is what should have been done in the first place.
And that would, but.
And this getting, is years later. I mean,
getting back to my point, I called every neurosurgeon in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and they all turned me down. And right. they were like, after I told them I had surgery,
mm-hmm.
and I needed somebody to kind of correct what happened,
mm-hmm.
they basically hung up on me.
Yeah, nobody wanted to do it.
But the Mayo Clinic went in there and fixed me.
Yes. Well,
to the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like I'm out here doing gymnastics.
No.
Not
so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to Dunsch. He was allowed to continue operating without restraints up until he took the case of Jeremy Summers, who was his childhood friend who had endured a severe neck injury as a teen, and the neck injury had actually gotten worse after a car accident. During the surgery, according to the Texas Observer, Dunsch sliced into one of the arteries running down Summers' spine, causing massive bleeding, which he tried to staunch by packing coagulants around the wound.
What does that mean?
So he basically, like, you know, when you see them, like, packing in, like, the gauze and stuff. Like,
okay.
That's, he's trying to stop the bleeding that way. But, like, he sliced into an artery. Like, that's a big deal.
When do you need to sew that up?
Yeah, like, you need to have, like, a vascular surgeon come in and fix that shit.
Right.
It's, like, messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the real Summers passed away in 2021 from complications related to his paralysis. Because wow. As he said, he was a quadriplegic after the surgery.
And I know in the show, they still showed it that he liked the doctor.
That's like, what they said in real life. So he did tell the story like they do in the show, because Christopher Dunsch is shown as being a drug addict as well as just not being very good at what he's doing.
Right.
With surgeries, but he's also a drug addict. And leading up to his surgery on his friend Summers, they were doing cocaine the night before.
Uh-huh.
And Summers did report that, but then he didn't actually testify to that. He changed his story, and that's what happened in real life, too.
Gotcha.
He said that, and then he basically took it back.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it seems like that was really true, that he, up until his death, he still was trying to
cover for him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is,
yeah,
his whole story is crazy.
Yeah, well,
let's keep going.
After one suspension, though, Dunsch went back to the OR, where he ruptured the vertebral artery of a 55-year-old Kelly Martin, causing her to bleed to death. This case led Baylor to cut ties with him, but not in the appropriate manner. Instead of reporting Dunsch to the National Practitioner Data Bank as required by law, they simply allowed the doctor to resign and maintained to his subsequent employers that there were no problems during his time with them, as per another story by the Texas Observer. However, the medical examiner from the Collin County Medical Examiner's Office, who was responsible for performing Martin's autopsy, was reportedly so astounded by what had happened that he brought her back in for another exam. So it was so bad when he went to look at her, he brought her back to, like, double check. That's insane, and that's horrible.
Yeah.
So with flawless credentials, he got a job at the Dallas Medical Center, where he would kill another patient like Kelly Martin. This person's name was Flora Brown. She had her vertebral artery sliced open and was declared brain dead soon after the surgery was over. He would also cause irreparable damage to Mary Euford, a 71-year-old woman whose place in the show is taken by Madeline Beyer. So they did use this patient. They changed her name, but she's a real patient. While performing a spinal fusion on Euford, Dunsch amputated a nerve root and struggled to place the fusion hardware on her spine, repeatedly drilling and removing screws. A subsequent review of the surgery also indicated that Dunsch had misdiagnosed the source of her back pain. Euford, who was once an active elderly woman, now moves around in a wheelchair. And they do show, yeah, she's an active part because she's the case that got him convicted and sent to prison. That was her story. Dunsch was arrested in 2015 for injury to an elderly person and 5 counts of assault. He was put on trial in 2017, but only for the crime against Euford. Nevertheless, the jury did consider him guilty and he was sentenced to life in prison. He is eligible for parole on July 20th, 2045. He's still got at least another 20 years.
Can you expect how the world is going to be different by then? Like, can you just imagine how the world's going to be?
Yeah.
How old is he going to be when he gets out?
I don't know. Old, though.
Are you going to do with your life after that?
I mean, nothing at that point.
Nobody's going to hire you. Mm-hmm. You can't get another job in surgery.
Yeah. It's crazy. And before he was taken to trial, his license was suspended by the Texas Medical Board in 2013 after a long investigation that began in 2012. Sadly, during the 1 year that it took the board to put a stop to Dunch's bloody career, he was allowed to continue practicing medicine without any way for patients to find out about his wrongdoings. According to the Texas Observer, Texan patients who wish to gain financial compensation or any other kind of retribution after being wronged by doctors have a hard battle ahead of them, especially since the mid-90s. Changes in the law made between 1996 and 2003 mean that those filing a lawsuit have to prove that the hospital and the doctor in question had a malicious intent, and also cap the amount that can be paid for non-economic damages at $250,000, which means most lawyers don't really want to take on the case.
They probably did that on purpose.
That is like, so messed up.
You're not going to get more than $250,000, so people are like...
They know that it won't be worth the time and the money spent for these cases. And the fact that they say you have to prove that the hospital and the doctor had malicious intent.
They did that on purpose.
When it's like negligence. I mean, that's in this case, the hospital is negligent by not investigating him, keeping an eye on him, following up with all these issues he was having. He was negligent because he just sucks. It's crazy. But you can't say he maliciously tried to do it, just that he's stupid. That's messed up. It's so messed up. Oh my gosh. And one good thing, I guess, that came out of this is that based on the actual circumstances shown in the series and the years that slid by with the horrific things that happened to Dunch's patients, various special lessons learned from the doctor death circumstances, webinars and workshops have been created for hospital administration personnel, physicians, RNs, technicians, and medical and physician oversight boards. So they've done like special training based on him.
It's, wow.
It's insane that you had to do all that, you know? And it's crazy to see him like you share your perspective because you have a totally, like, I just think it's horrific, but you know.
So like when we're watching the film, I have to give it to Joshua Jackson.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my goodness. He transforms into this guy like with a flick of a switch. Like, I liked him in Mighty Ducks, but this is far from Mighty Ducks.
He's definitely not that kid, no.
And when he was doing surgeries on, like, on set, like...
Yeah, they show
him doing it during the show. And it just... I cringed and bear it. Like, it just sent spine-tingling shots down my spine, like... Mm-hmm. Because it hit me so emotionally because mm-hmm. I have been there. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what people are going through. I'm glad I didn't get maimed like this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, at least I'm lucky on that note.
Yeah.
But I just, it would make me cringe mm-hmm. watching the surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the scene where... Christian Slater was in the room
mm-hmm.
and watching him,
correct him,
watching him do the surgery, and mm-hmm. he kept trying to correct him. Oh, you need to do this, that, and the other. And he wasn't taking the advice of him.
Mm-hmm.
That made me cringe because Christian Slater was trying to save that patient. It was his pool man, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was in the show. It was his pool man. He was operating on his pool man and he almost killed him. And mm-hmm. Christian Slater's character had to go back in and correct it.
Yeah, it's insane. But, yeah. And when you see that, like, but that just shows you how messed up it is sometimes in the operating room or dealing with the medical egos and everything, because he tried to step in, but didn't really feel like it was his place to tell him how to do the surgery.
Right.
You know, and it's like,
do you think they do
down the line, you realize he should have been more aggressive with the whole situation. Like that one. Oh, cause they showed Dr. Dunch wanting to do like some sort of brain surgery thing. And the head surgeon
was like,
at the hospital literally came down and yelled at him. That was pretty great. I'm just like, that's what everybody should be doing to this man, is yelling at him.
Do you think a lot of surgeons face that behind the scenes?
Probably. There's a lot of big egos and
they don't get in other surgeons' faces about things.
Because it's, you know, at that point, I guess it's your OR, you know, you're the one leading the surgery. but.
Oh, no. I would have a hard time with that. Yeah. Like, I would be like, no, fuck you. I'm going to get whoever I need to get down here to fucking stop this.
Which is probably what should be done more often.
But I'm a little bit more blunt than most people. Mm-hmm. Either in people in real life either like love me or hate me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so blunt to people. Yeah. And that's another true. Reason why we wanted to do this show is because we're giving you the facts. Mm-hmm. We're letting you know what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had such an emotional reaction to this show. Mm-hmm. Just because I could, every time a surgery scene came up, I could feel it in my bones. Like, ugh, like, he just knew he was fucking it up. Mm-hmm. And
it was intense in some of those scenes.
If you have not watched the show, we truly recommend it. It's like eight episodes long,
something like on that.
Peacock. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from Peacock that everybody bashes, but they do have some good content out.
I mean we definitely binged through this to see.
I definitely like the first season better than the second season.
I would still watch both. I do think the Christopher Dunst story was better told.
But it's more relatable. I like the fact that they gave such character development about the Doctor, how he got started, where we got to see him at. I did feel bad for his parents because I felt like his parents even kind of knew that he was going to be a screw up.
Yeah, it did seem that way.
And I felt bad that they always had to carry that burden. Like, there's one scene where he's on the stand. Joshua Jackson's character is on the stand. And actually, no, I lied to you. Joshua Jackson's dad is on the stand. He's in court because they arrested him. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get him bail. And on the phone, he said, "I'm trying to get money so I can get a legal defense going." And they brought that up in court because they thought he was a flight risk. And that was one of the things they brought up in court, denying his bail. And Joshua Jackson's character got so mad at his dad because he was under oath. He had to say, "Yes, we talked about this," and they denied his bail. Do you remember him coming back to the visitor's room and them having that scene where he's just so angry at him?
Yeah.
He just...
Well,
I don't think he maliciously set out to do this.
No, but he didn't take any responsibility for any of it.
He didn't say sorry.
No, I mean, and he didn't change anything that he was doing. He didn't try and learn from anything. He just would move on because he didn't think he was the problem.
No harm, no foul. And and the ego on this guy.
That was the problem.
That was one of the biggest problems.
Yes. I mean, but I just, the way he would just encourage these people with these surgeries and stuff.
I think he would
just knew.
So we actually had somebody, I was going to another doctor.
We've told this story.
And I had another doctor refer me to this other doctor. He was a surgeon. And he just felt like he was selling me like snake oil.
Like, I feel like if the doctor can't really explain it medically, and then, like, it obviously needs to be dumbed down for you, too, because, you know, that's what part of their job is to explain it so you understand what's happening. If they don't do that and they kind of just brush you off and they're just like, no, this is just the best thing for you, but why? Why are you choosing to do this?
One thing that he did not say that we found out on our own from research is he had a claim against him. I'm not bashing this doctor. I'm just telling what happened with him. He was high on pain pills and he went into surgery.
Yeah.
The other doctor referred me did not tell me this. I actually brought it up to him and I was like, "We found out about this."
Yeah, because at this point, we were going to so many doctors, I started looking up everybody.
Right.
Like, I
wanted to know.
Because
after my first surgery.
What we're getting into.
Because it went so wrong, we wanted to know who were you actually going to see and what was going on.
Yes.
So when I was talking to this other doctor, he was like, "Oh, he was like, you know, I couldn't, because that other doctor was going to see him professionally as well, because this is a therapist. And yeah, so it would have been doctor privilege.
Yeah.
But privilege I found right out. There. But we found out.
And again, like, everybody deserves a second chance.
And I'm not saying that he didn't deserve a second chance.
My whole problem with it was,
I felt like he was talking us into it.
Yeah, and it did feel like you would ask a question, he wouldn't really answer the question. It was just, this is what I think you should do. And one thing I did not like, and I know it irritates you, like, you went to the new pain management doctor, right? And she gave you a list of things you want to do, and you were like, it feels like I'm starting over. But you are starting over.
No, I literally...
And I would have personally been upset if you came home and she was just like, oh, well, I think you might be a candidate for, like, surgery A, B, and C, or some other, you know, bigger deal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been upset at that, because it's like, but she doesn't know you at this point. Like, she looked at one MRI, she looked at, which is what it felt like with this one x-ray, and then made this conclusion that you need some sort of major procedure done. And I'm just like, but why did you come to that? Like, when we sat down with Dr. Chen at the Mayo Clinic, he literally was like, okay, I looked at it, A, B, C. Like, this is what I think they should have done. This is why I'm saying you should do this. This is standard of care. This is why I think this may help you, but it may not. Like, you know what? He was very much like, this is a realistic expectation for what we're going into. This is why I think we should do this. He took his time to explain it.
Yeah.
Went over it with that. You know what I mean?
And like, we didn't get that creepy feeling with
him. What I don't like is, like, you come in and you're just like, well, I'm going to fuse from here to here.
That's another thing. He wanted to fuse half my neck.
It was like a lot. And to our concern is, like, he can't even turn his head as is with the small infusion he did have.
Aftercare. They wanted to really release
me. Oh, and it was outpatient.
It was outpatient.
We had to ask, like, well, you would prefer not to do outpatient. And then he's at the Mayo Clinic for a damn week.
I thought it was almost 2 weeks.
No. I was getting worried that it was going to be, because you know how trying to get time off at CVS. They already were trying to have me, like, swap shifts with Mahmood, and I was just like, no, like, I can't just have him work a 70-hour work week for me.
Right,
because I'm at the hospital, you know? But, no, it was, because they had sent him maybe a couple days. You were there, like, five. And I was like, because I remember, I feel bad, but I would go in there, and I would just kind of be like, are you done?
Are you done?
Gelatin? Did you try it without the gelatin today, Robert? Because we really need to go home soon.
Like, I remember.
I need you to get this taken care of.
I remember you did come into my room, and we were watching a movie, and, like, they gave me, like, they gave me a hit of my,
that was gelatin.
My pain medication. At that point,
yeah.
And I was out. Like, it was the good thief. Or
maybe. I don't
I know I would remember the name.
Yeah, but, I just sat there with you while you slept. And
but
I
basically,
like,
she brought up Lucifer to, and so she was back at the room. So basically, I slept while she was in the room.
Yeah.
I know towards the end of that, I really wanted to shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they will have me get up out of bed. We're not trying to get off track.
We
we're
did just the whole kinda, episodes on this, but yeah. But
With the doctor, it just felt like he was, oh, you need this. And he had an answer for everything.
And that's how this was in the show. I feel like that's how Dr. Dunch was with everybody. And the patients, spouses, whoever was asking questions, he just seemed like he was constantly brushing them off. It's no big deal. It's fine. And then you find out, no, it is a big deal. It's not fine.
So my point is, if you get those feelings, don't do it. It's not worth it. Go with your first gut. If you find something, you know, you don't like something, ask questions. I don't care if that doctor thinks you're the most annoying person in the world. You ask those fucking questions.
Yeah.
And then if you still feel like something bad's going to happen, go to another doctor because this is your health.
Yep, that's the best solution.
I mean, I emotionally was attracted to this show because of what happened to me and my surgery and everything. And I recommend people that have been through botched surgeries check this out because you're going to get that same emotion. It is hard to watch, especially the surgery scenes.
Yeah.
It's like Jack the Ripper. Honestly, it's like night and day.
It's crazy.
But it was a good, it's a good series. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm waiting for season 3 to come out.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, everything we've talked about. Like, it just, it was insane to watch the story play out and know that it was based on a true story.
I'm glad that he was sentenced for so long.
Yeah, he deserved it.
Because he deserved it. If he,
and the jury knew that. The judge knew that.
If he would have showed a little bit more remorse.
He had zero.
If he would have said, sorry, nothing. I didn't know, or this, nothing, that, and the other, he probably would have gotten some leniency.
But he did not care.
But he didn't do anything.
No.
He didn't. He just did not care.
Even when he did it to his friend.
I think that's the lowest part.
Yeah. I think that's horrible.
So.
Like, it's just, but I think you're right. And the whole point of this is they literally, like, all of these patients had this problem. But they could only really put the case when they were doing their research, putting the case together. The best was to go after, like, the elder abuse, the elder, you know, that was the one solid one that they thought they could win on. But, you know, the jury, they heard all the stories. The jury, the judge, they knew that, right, he was guilty of so much more than just this one case against her.
Right.
You know, and right, that's what happened. That's why he ended up in prison for so long.
So. Definitely check this show out.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch.
You're in for a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
An emotional ride.
Joshua Jackson is so good.
He definitely deserves an Oscar for this role.
So good in this entire thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Definitely check this out. Please, mm-hmm, like, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Leave a comment.
Yes.
Let us know what you think about this episode. And, mm-hmm, if you check out Dr. Death, either the, mm-hmm, podcast or the show, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Well, until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain with Robbie and Sammy. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the Limitless Podcast Network's own channel, Instagram, and all things social media. And we'll see you all real soon.